People can also develop TB and lymph nodes in other parts of their body, like by the lungs or in the abdomen. People sometimes get TB in their joints. It can also affect the kidney. Sometimes it can affect the genital urinary tract. So it can also sometimes go to the brain. So it can disseminate. It can go widespread through the body.
Can it just sit and be in one lymph node, or does it always spread?
It could just sit and be in one lymph node, but it has a tendency to spread, at least locally. But then if it goes widely throughout the body, then that's what's called disseminated TB.
So that's not as common, though?
Well, that's not as common, but, you know, I recently reviewed the statistics for Minnesota in the last year, and they had 195 active cases. Of those, 99 were pulmonary, but 67 of those were extrapulmonary, meaning at sites outside the lung, and there were 29.
Behind the moon, beyond the rain.
Take a walk on the wild side.
Chocolate-covered rainbows. Black boys, get on down, down.
Every G&L has a New York Tales tell. The Stonewall was everyone.
Let them take you and make you invisible. We're here, we're queer, that's a natural fact. When heterosexism strikes, strike back.
Good evening and welcome to Fresh Fruit, the longest running weekly queer radio show in the country, every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. I'm your host, Dixie Treichel, and tonight on Fresh Fruit, my guests are Dick Van Dyke and Queenie Van Curves, co-artistic producers for Divas and Drag 4, presented by an opera theater, August 1st through the 4th at the Jungle Theater in Minneapolis. Dick Van Dyke, he, him, hey girl, has been dazzling drag audiences for 10 years in over a dozen different cities and is currently a performer with Flip Phone Events, produces shows at the Black Heart, and co-show directs at Lush Lounge and Theater. He is in the inaugural season of Drag of King, the first ever televised Drag King competition show on Reverie, airing every Sunday night. and Queenie von Kurz, she, her, known as the Rubenesque Royal of Burlesque, is producer of Bear Book Club Minneapolis, Flower and Devour Burlesque Brunch with High Floral. Is that right?
Not anymore. That must be an old bio. That's okay.
Two Dykes Walk Into a Bar with Dick Van Dyke and Dr. Sketchy's Minneapolis. She has a BFA in theater performance, performed with Ballet of the Dolls, worked as a costume designer, and in theater event management throughout the Twin Cities. Welcome to Fresh Fruit, Dick and Queenie.
I also want to say, Dixie, I love that your name also could be like a couple name for me and Queenie, and I just want to congratulate the three of us in our thruplehood, so thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Perfect.
So why don't we just start with you talking a little bit about yourselves and, you know, give us an idea where you come from, where you're going, what's happening. So, yeah.
Ladies first. Queenie, you want to kick us off?
What a charmer. I guess I've always kind of, in some way, been a performer since I was, I think, as far back as I can remember. Dabbled in all sorts of stuff. Grew up as like a theater dance kid and then went to school for theater. Moved out here, actually, because of theater, because Minneapolis has such a strong local theater scene regionally. Worked primarily as a costume designer to begin with. Kind of was a dance dropout, and part of that reasoning was I wanted to be a ballerina. But
and you are, Diva. You are.
But, you know, in ballet school, after a certain point when you start developing, I didn't have the right body anymore, and so I sadly had to let that go. But that's kind of the journey of what made me discover and love burlesque, is that I could kind of lean into all the different disciplines of art that I had done and wrap it up in one big personal bow, because I can design my own costumes and I can choreograph my own pieces. I can dance as much as I want. And it's been especially kind of a form of personal healing for being told my body was always wrong, mm-hmm. Because in burlesque, there's no such thing as having the wrong body.
Heck
so
yeah.
It's been that. Really healing for me to have this journey, and I just celebrated being Queenie von Kurz for 15 years.
Wow. I mean, I love that, because I think you really touched on the beauty of Divas in Drag, which is, mm-hmm. this beautiful operatic drag extravaganza that we are here in Plug City promoting. But I think what's so great about Divas in Drag is that we all contain so many multitudes. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, I love that I get to bring so many multitudes of my own cinematic universe to Divas in Drag, because I think all of us can relate to feeling a little bit of a lot of things. Like for me, I grew up studying classical music. I grew up playing music in church. I grew up, you know, I feel like the first time I ever like learned how to speak on a microphone was like doing the welcome at church. And now I feel like I get to use those skills at drag shows every weekend. So it's like, in some ways, I feel like I've been training for this my whole life. But I'm really excited about Divas in Drag and the ways in which not only the two sectors of performers get to come together, but also the way that two sectors of audiences get to come together. And it's always such a fun thing to like see an opera audience sit with a drag audience, and they're like watching each other watch the show. And it's like this fun, like, who's watching who at the zoo moment, that like feels like, to me as a French horn player, really plays my fiddle, I'll say that. But
yeah, they almost seem to learn from each other.
Totally.
In the audience, and it grows every year, kind of how much they kind of learn from each other and overlap, because, you know, the drag audiences come in and they understand tip culture, they understand, you know, the music that people generally are lip syncing to or whatever, and then we kind of flip it and, you know, use opera as the main like source of musical inspiration and music itself. But like things like, for opera audiences, you know, most of the time in opera, the audiences have to be quiet. They need to be polite and reserved. Mm-hmm. And then they all of a sudden get to cheer along with these drag audiences that are used to the cheering and the whooping and the hollering as being supportive and what you do. And so they get to like kind of break out of their shell a little bit, and you know,
cheer along. And yeah. Also, like, my favorite part is when they sing along.
Yes, yes.
Because sometimes I feel like the opera audiences will pick up on the fact that, like, they're no longer being graded on whether or not they're clapping in between movements. You know what I mean? Like, yes. We are throwing the movement clapping grade out the window, and you can just clap whenever something happens that you enjoy, and you can sing whenever you know a part. Like, nobody's gonna, this is actually kind of cute. My dad has printed up, like, business card size cards that he will pass out at the theater that all it says on this business card is stop talking. And if people behind him are throwing a fit, he'll just turn around and give them a business card and say nothing. And I'm like, first of all, I want one of those all the time, everywhere except Divas and Drag.
Correct.
And
that's correct. Yes. But like our second, the second year of Divas and Drag, which was the first one that Dick and I had parts in and became part of the cast. Though my favorite was that every night there was specifically a piece from Carmen that is kind of,
yes,
within the opera world is like everyone knows it and loves it, and like even if you aren't an opera person, you've heard it in a movie, you've mm-hmm. you've
commercials,
you know,
everything.
Anything.
Yeah.
And there's this very distinct part that is like dun 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 dun. I don't know the words because I don't know the time, but dun 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 dun.
We're the gay people.
And,
yeah.
And in that moment, every night, unprompted, the opera people in the audience sang right along, and it was so special. And for all of us who are not opera people, we're like, they're doing it. They're singing along.
Yeah.
They're letting it happen and being part of it instead of feeling like they have to be so quiet.
And I think it's so much bigger than our little show, too, because I think right now the thing that really keeps me going with drag and everything is thinking about the ways that, like, there are so many people making money off of us being fragmented apart from each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's so much empowerment about us feeling our power, like, together as a group. And I think that, like, singing as a group has been a thing that brings, like, unites people in times of oppression. I mean, as long as time itself. So I think it's, like, really beautiful to get to see that and see people feel empowered in that, like, in this space.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, should we go ahead and tell them about the premise now that we've gushed about how great it is?
Yeah, I was just going to say, talk a little bit about an opera theater, because we're talking about Divas and Drags, which is coming up on August 1st through the 4th. But they're also an organization that does opera in general, but tries to bring in different audiences. Is that right?
Totally. Yeah. They're like, I feel like the way I would describe an opera theater is they're not like a regular opera theater. They're like a cool opera theater, you know? So it's like, I feel like they do a lot of very, very, like, they're doing a lot of rad things. They were doing like a lot. One thing that I really enjoyed that I just went to was an opera theater did... what was it, like the underground?
Rock?
Well, I was talking about the opera underground, where they didn't
really
tell you
cool.
where it was until like the night before,
and
then you had like no idea what you're walking into, and it was just like this mystery bag of operatic goodness, and it was so much fun. But opera theater, it's really cool. Do you know about like how they initially came up with the concept? And do you want to tell them what the concept is?
Sure. Yeah. So an opera theater really wanted to kind of take on works within opera that are more socially relevant, to break down kind of the barriers that classical art form has and to like have a more community feel for opera. Mm. Community historically has such an elitist approach and realities that, you know, they really wanted to kind of break down those barriers and have it be more approachable, have it be more accessible, mm-hmm. sometimes literally more accessible, having it be, you know, affordable and in venues that people can access without needing to like go downtown and park who knows where and all that kind of stuff, like mm-hmm. really finding ways to be more accessible to everyone. And they also use operas that historically have a lot of like storylines or plots that kind of take on marginalized situations or historically difficult situations and trying to put a spotlight more on those smaller operas. You know, everyone knows the big ones that are so often done in the bigger venues, but there's so many smaller operas that are more socially conscious, that really take on the ideas of society and community and diversity. And so they're really shining a light on those lesser known pieces, mm-hmm. and often even taking them further and showing how they can be applicable to today's society, right. and some of the things we're going through. Okay. So they really have just tried to break down barriers in general of opera, mm-hmm. and make it less elitist and more approachable. And Divas and Drag is the epitome of that, yes. especially for the queer community.
Yeah. Talk about that. What, Divas and Drags, what's happening?
So the premise is we have... It's all like live vocalists and instrumentalists, and we basically have opera singers and a pianist like singing and performing live, and then drag entertainers lip syncing to those live performances, which is very exciting on multiple fronts. For one, a lot of the pieces are not in English, and so drag entertainers are having to learn, like, how do I make my mouth move to someone's voice in another language.
Right.
And then the other thing is, like, I know Queenie's husband had this experience with, like, where if the opera singer jumps a verse, the drag entertainer follows along, and it's this very collaborative experience of being, like, in sync with someone in a way that, like, drag is usually such an individual sport, mm-hmm. oftentimes nowadays. It hasn't always been that way, but I think a lot of times now, like in this, you know, post-drag race, drag era that we're in, mm-hmm. A lot of times it's like this very solo experience of just being on the stage by yourself. And so I think Divas and Drag is really exciting because not only, you know, not only is it you and a vocalist, it's also a pianist. There are pieces where there are multiple drag entertainers and multiple vocalists. And so it's like this huge collaborative effort of like all these, you know, it's like juggling all these balls in the air at the same time. It's kind of crazy, but it is.
It's
in
like,
such a fun way.
It's such of like a... like an organized chaos, I think, you know, like it has a chaotic nature in the fact that we are doing so many different things than we normally do for us and for the opera singers. Like we've gotten so many opera singers out of their little shells, you know, and mm-hmm. gotten them to be, you know, a little bit more rambunctious and expressive and loose, you know, kind of breaking apart some of the things.
To where they're doing drag too.
Correct. Yeah. Some of them have been doing drag or, you know, they'll break it and then like it'll be more collaborative. It won't just be like a singer and a lip syncer, like mm-hmm. separately. It's like a lot of our numbers have ended up being so collaborative that it's all one big piece together, an mm-hmm. art piece, and it's not really that there's a separation of the opera singer and the performer. It's kind of just they've become like one entity somehow. Yeah. And the magic always happens every year, you know, like we start with very much just brainstorming and matching up people who haven't worked together maybe, right. or, you know, come from very different backgrounds and have different ideas and different things they're passionate about. And somehow the magic comes together and they find a way to just make beautiful art together.
And this year, I feel like we're taking that like ethos even to the next level because, you know, Divas and Drag, it's always about bringing multiple groups together. And then this year we're not only doing opera, we're doing like an opera musical theater sort of crossover episode, mm-hmm. Very like Disney Channel style. This is not a sponsored post, but it's like it's very Sweet Life of Zach and Rent. And so I think like this year we're gonna pair, because a lot of musical theater is inspired by opera, mm-hmm. and so we are pairing the operas with the musical theater pieces that very much go in tandem. And so I think it's a great homage to the ways in which we're marrying, you know, multiple entities and communities together, and weaving it all together in this chaotic, brilliant mess that I'm really excited. As a musical theater nerd, I'm very excited.
Same.
About. Yeah.
Same. Well, and that's what's so fun with us coming from the background that we come from. Like, you know, we have had like toes in other artistic disciplines.
There is a joke about like a musical theater to drag pipeline. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But what's beautiful, too, especially with Divas and Drag, is that you and I have found ways that we can bring forth some of our past art love and incorporate it into our new disciplines. So like I love that like the first year that you did it, you found a way for opera to also include Freddie Mercury and for you to play your French horn live,
yeah,
you know, nice. To bring all of those loves and artistic disciplines into one thing that worked perfectly, you know. And I was so lucky that last year I was able to bring in my dance background and do a piece, a Puccini piece, a movement piece that I actually was inspired by Martha Graham to take my interpretation of Martha Graham mixed with a piece from Puccini that was sung so lovely, and to have that happen. And it's that's the beautiful, like, magic that happens every year, where it's just like, also you just kind of like, well, what have you always wanted to do?
Yeah. Well, and it's about, I think, finding new ways to love maybe things that we've, like, gone through difficult phases with in our life. Like, you spoke about, you know, you having, like, kind of a falling out with dance, if that's fair to say.
Absolutely.
I definitely went through kind of a falling out with the French horn, and I think, like, I had to, like, kind of process that as I'm like, okay, and now I'm going to play my French horn to Freddie Mercury, and we got to get it together, you know? So but I think that, like, it really inspires me as an artist, because I think that, like, sometimes we were, Dixie, you and I were kind of talking about this before we were on air, but I think sometimes with drag, there's a lot of discussion around what is and what isn't drag.
Right.
And I think at the end of the day, what makes great drag is artists who are pursuing what is important to them and what they want to say and what kind of art they want to make. And I think what I realized is that, like, I want to make art that happens to have brass instruments in it, and that's okay.
Which I love.
And I think it makes it, like, it's, like, kind of funny where you're like, okay, well, I don't know that I expected to see, like, Freddie Mercury playing the French horn today, but, like, isn't your day better because of it? And like, you know, like, even with the Barcelona piece, like, you know, Freddie Mercury is not notoriously known for good solo music, but I was like, let's take a song off his solo album that I love and have an opera singer come from Sweden to sing it with me. I mean, we were planning this thing while he was in Sweden. So I was like, what time is it in Sweden? I don't even know what time it is in Sweden right now, but we were planning Freddie from across the seas and just pursuing art that is important to us, and that's what was important to me for the first one. So there you go.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the music. Let's take a quick break, and you could talk a bit. I know there's going to be, like, some mashups of opera and Broadway, and maybe you can talk a little bit about some of the pieces that you're going to be doing. I don't know if you're going to be doing this, but I did choose a piece from Rent.
Perfect.
It's Seasons of Love. Which I don't know if that's in your show or not, but it's pretty much a classic.
You'll have to tune in and find out.
It does connect with one of the other many operas that have
absolutely.
Been around. Mm-hmm. All right, so Seasons of Love by Rent. You're listening to Fresh Fruit on KFAI with Queenie Von Curves and Dick Van Dyke, and I'm Dixie Treichel. Stay tuned.
The way that she died.
right. That was a piece from Rent, and that was Seasons of Love. And we're here with Dick Van Dyke and Queenie Von Curves.
The Vaughns, if you will.
The Vaughns.
Yes, we are. We're known as the Vaughns.
And we're talking about diva and drag. Divas and drag.
Yeah.
With an opera theater. So we were going to talk a little bit about some of the music that's going to be involved in the show. What do you have to tell us about that?
Totally.
So the first set is going to be kind of bits of the opera and then the Broadway musical that it inspired. Mm-hmm. Inspired.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be doing Romeo and Juliet opera. And then we're going to be doing the corresponding pieces from West Side Story.
Not the whole thing.
Wouldn't that be funny? No,
we're
no.
Gonna, and you can sit with us for 14 hours. No, no, no. We're going to excerpts.
No. Yes,
just
excerpts.
The best stuff.
Correct,
you know?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, like excerpts, but in a way that you can really see how one inspired the other.
They're holding hands, if you will.
Correct, yeah. Correct, yeah. And so this is the first year, too, that we're doing more like specific like scenes from opera and this year from musicals. In the past, it's always just been kind of like a cabaret where it's like each piece is just, you know,
an
opera singer. Yeah. An opera singer and a drag performer just paired up and came up with something that they wanted to do together.
Right.
And then, but this year, the first whole set is going to be like actual scenes that we're working on, and so that's very different this year. Yeah.
Dare really we say ambitious?
It is a little ambitious.
Show up and see if we can do it.
Rehearsals have been going very well. but yeah, so we're going to start with Romeo and Juliet and West Side Story, and then the other pairing, if you wouldn't mind giving us the info.
Yeah, joke. And then we are also doing, we are also pairing Holding Hands, La Boheme with Rent. Our musical director Jared is weaving all of these different things together in a way that feels seamless and exciting, and will be sure to keep you on your toes. So we're doing that, and then should we tell them about Act 2?
Sure. So Act 2, we kind of took on the idea of all of us are now off the clock.
Free agents.
We're free agents. We're off the clock. The show is done. We did our Romeo and Juliet's, West Side Stories, Rents and Bohems.
Throw out the book.
And now we all have retired to the bar after the show. We're off the clock.
We're all drinking our weed seltzies at the bar.
That's right. Sipping our cocktails, mocktails, or what have you. But then, you know, Jared wanders in and there's a piano at the bar. So what are you going to do? We're just going to do whatever we want. So just an idea of, like, if you had the opportunity to just have an excellent pianist and some friends around, what is the ultimate piece that you would want to do for fun? So people are coming up with all different ideas for solos, duos, trios, group numbers, all sorts of stuff. So a little bit of opera, a little bit of Broadway, a little bit of modern music.
Yeah, rando dando stuff,
like,
too, for sure.
Little bit of the Muppets might be coming in.
Who knows?
Bits from musical movies, like all different. And it's going to be everything will be a surprise in the second set, but also I think a way that's really going to warm everyone's hearts, because we're really doing kind of the thing we always wanted to do and never had a chance. And so I'm really excited for the second half. And that'll feel more like some of our older years, which it'll be a little bit more cabaret style, but even more casual, because if we can, we're going to have other people on stage. We're going to cheer each other on. We're going to drink with each other on stage. It'll be kind of a breaking of completely of the fourth wall, like you're at the bar with us.
An immersive experience.
Yeah. So come when we're off the clock to the bar with us.
Yeah.
so let me ask you another thing here. Can you talk about who are the divas and who are the drag?
Yes and yes.
There's like a large cast, I understand. Or is there a crossing of some people do both? Or how does that work?
I think some people definitely go both ways, but I won't name names. no, I'm just kidding. The premise was to represent, you know, opera with the divas and drags with the drags, but I do think that most drags are also divas, so there is a bit of a Venn diagram going there.
Definitely.
But I'm really excited for all the drag artists we have. I mean, we have, like, Victoria DeVille is coming back this year. We also have Decreme. I am so excited to see her perform. Del the Funky Homosexual, who also performs with Dragged Out, which, fun fact, is one of the longest-running drag king shows in the Midwest. Oh. Right here in beautiful, well, you know, in beautiful, all the way across the bridge in St. Paul.
You can do it.
Yeah.
We have Luminati.
Yeah. Luminati's going to be.
And Hope Norquist, who is a little bit of both. She swings both ways, I've been
definitely
told. And then we have some excellent opera singers. We have Phineas, Trevor. We have Kara. We have Carissa. We have Issa. We have some people that have done it for many years. We have some people who are brand new on both sides. And that's such a wonderful thing every year, is having some people come back who have experienced it, and then having people come in who have no idea what's happening. And then we start by just having a drink together. We all just meet up at a place and
a drink, and more importantly, a cheese curd.
Yes, yes. I mean, the only Midwest way to get to know each other.
Yeah,
I mean, 100%.
Totally.
But we take that opportunity to just kind of learn about each other, meet each other, have little side stories and conversations, and really start with a bare-boned idea, and then where is it going to grow? Like, what do each of us have to offer, and how can we mesh that with each other? I think there's so many correlations between drag and opera that maybe people don't think about, but once you see it, you really understand the direct overlap of, like, the flamboyance of opera and drag, the over the top. Like, I mean, there's so many similarities between the two. And
to my point before, a lot of people, I think, there's been a lot of discussion lately about, like, what is drag? What counts as drag? Dixie, we were talking about this before. It's like, there's a king on, I'm on this, like, the first televised drag king competition show.
And we're also proud of you,
Thank Dick. You. It's called King of Drag. It's on Reverie. And one of my favorite people on this show, I mean, I love all of them. And also, one of my favorite contestants is this person named Big D, who has never lip synced to a song in a bar. And so there have been folks that have come up to me and they're like, what do you think about that? Like, is that even drag? And I'm like, I'm always so blown away by that question, because I'm like, do you not understand? Like, not only is Big D drag, also the housewives are drag, also professional wrestling is drag, also like the gender norms that we're all told we have to fit into every day, and like we don't want to, but we do it anyway because we feel like we have to, is drag.
Well,
like,
I'm technically only burlesque, technically.
Yeah.
And I swear, everything I do is drag.
Queenie's
too.
Drag.
I mean,
yeah.
when you portray a character and have a name that is outside your regular identity, that is heightened, that is explored, that is set on a stage, that in any way is like a sliver of yourself that can be explored and just explode, that's drag. And so I think it's weird that we're trying to gatekeep any kind of performance art, but especially drag, because drag came out of like fighting against the assumed societal norms that are placed on people.
Well, I always say,
our own queer community.
In St. Louis, I learned about three-piece laws because of doing drag, which I think a lot of people still don't even know existed. Yeah. But like in St. Louis, it was the trans women and the drag queens that banded together and fought to overturn the three-piece laws in St. Louis, because you could be stopped by the police and they had to make sure that you could be arrested if you weren't wearing at least three pieces of clothing that matched your gender assigned at birth, which like now to us sounds crazy, but I mean these were like laws like not very long ago, and they probably still are some places, and who knows, could be again. But I think like it's so important that we know that history in order to prevent it from happening again. I mean,
and that's one of the laws that were used against folks at Stonewall that had them do that uprising. That was one of the laws on paper that the police were using in a way to crack down on queers just existing, because that was one on paper that they could literally just point out and write down.
Yeah.
And so it was really just a way to
control people.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think the less that we are controlling each other, the better.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like, who cares? Like, Aren't we all just here trying to find joy?
Aren't we all just here trying to lip sync to Freddie Mercury playing the French horn? I know. I get it. Me too. Like, I get it.
Why aren't we all just lifting each other up and feeling the joy that we all want to experience? And that's what I try to do when I perform, and I know you do too,
yeah,
Dick.
Do.
And that's why we have, I think, not only become people who like to work together, but really good friends, and cross over a lot of the reasons why we're doing this.
Well, it was watching the joy in Queenie's eyes that made me want to, I'm so serious, that made me want to move to the Twin Cities in the first place, because I did a show in Wichita, Kansas, what, like a million years ago, and it was the first time I had ever seen Queenie perform, and the way that she looked her partner in the eyes, and there was just this sparkle while she was performing, and she was like, and the two of them were like, you really have to come visit us in the Twin Cities. And I was like, if this is what the performance scene in the Twin Cities is like, I'm in. Like, I was like, how much snow? I don't care. I'm coming. I'm coming. So thank you for, you know, your joy inspired me. And then now we get to do so many cool things together, like Divas in Drag. But we also produce this show together at the Black Heart. That's called Two Dykes Walk Into a Bar. Spoiler alert, we're the two dykes. And it's this fabulous, like, well, and even, it's funny, like, we talk about, like, oh, drag and opera, they're these, you know, two art forms that we're bringing together. But it's funny how much even drag and burlesque mm-hmm. are kept from each other and segregated. Mm-hmm. And, like, when I'll talk to a burlesque entertainer, I'll be like, oh, my drag friend so-and-so. And they're like, I have no idea who that is. And I'm like, that's fair, because they're keeping us from each other. But anyway, so Queenie and I are like, throw the book at the wall, whatever. We make a fabulous dragon burlesque show. I mean, if I do say so myself.
Oh, 100%.
The dragon burlesque show at the Black Heart of St. Paul. And it's called, yes, Two Dykes. And our next one is September
5th. Yep.
So you can come see us.
It's a very sapphic-centered show, but we invite anyone to come and enjoy it and give us money. We love tips as we're performing on stage. It goes right back into all of our rhinestones. but yeah, and I really like too that both of us kind of have the same drive to not only spread joy, but also lift up all different kinds of performers and all different kinds of people, all different levels of experience and all that, to like combine to make a really dynamic show in which not only are the stage performances joyful, but the backstage is also joyful. We're all cheering each other on. We're all lifting each other up. And I think that's sometimes even more important than how good you are on stage, because if you don't experience joy backstage, you're not going to bring it on stage.
For sure. And the audience is joyful too.
Yeah.
I always jokingly say to Queenie, it's like, Queenie, I love watching you perform. Also, I missed it because I was watching the audience with their mouths agape and their eyes twinkling watching you perform is like one of my favorite parts of the show too. So if nothing else, come to watch the audience watch Queenie. You know what I mean?
Well, and our joy, like, I think that's why we ended up working with an opera theater together as co-artistic directors.
Totally.
Is because, you know, Kelly saw that. Kelly, who is the head of an opera theater.
Executive director.
Yes. So much love.
Yes. And she really, I think, saw that joy that we have in doing this, and saw that we were just little theater kids that just found a different route. And here we are. And so, you know, I think also just having that experience and working together, which really lends itself with Divas in Drag, so we can also be there for support for the people who are learning this for the first time, or combining for the first time, or talking to opera performers about what drag is and helping them understand how they can be a part of the scene instead of just the voice. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been really beautiful to watch.
Well, I think something about drag in, like, right now is that was hard for me to learn. Like, when I first started doing drag, it felt like a lot of my drag was doing what I thought the audience wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was so empowering. And I even, to be honest, like, experienced a lot of this with King of Drag. I think when I was making my package, a lot of it was like, okay, well, let me make something that the judges want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, it's been really empowering once I was in this space with all these kings that not only I look up to, but I've, you know, followed on the internet for a million years, and watching them and learning from them, I was like, oh, like, I'm my best when I bring something that I want to see. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, divas and drag is such a beautiful thing, because some drag entertainers are being told this at the same time. They're like, no, like, what's the theme? What's the prompt? And yeah. It's like, no, the theme is you and the prompt is you. So what do you want to do? And they're like, what do you mean?
Right.
You
know? And then it's like, I don't know what I've always wanted to do. And we're like, well, this is your opportunity.
Pray on it. Right. You know?
Yeah, so that's always just a really wonderful thing.
It's exciting.
To give people more creative freedom.
And I think that it'll bleed over into all of the art that we make, not just in this yes. space, and that's what's so beautiful about it.
Yeah, I mean, when I started burlesque, I felt like I had to have a gimmick, right?
Right.
I thought each of my numbers had to have some sort of gimmick, because I'm not going to be just...
Isn't that what the musical says?
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to have
exactly.
a gimmick.
Exactly, and that's what it felt gimmick. Like. I was like, if I didn't have a gimmick, then they're not going to want just me. Like... What? So I started with always feeling like every number had to have some sort of trick or gimmick or whatever. And now my favorite numbers are numbers that are really long and have barely any actual removal pieces that I really can just dig deep in and make eye contact and have interactions and have that just in the space, being in the space and doing it because... It feels good, and then it feels good for everyone else.
Mm-hmm. It's about the tease.
Yes, exactly. So it's been a really wonderful journey for me to feel like I'm enough.
And in the spirit of drag and burlesque is for everyone, I also want to say, Dixie, whenever you want to do a number at Two Dykes, you just let us know.
Okay.
I also feel like
you will always have a slot open.
Your theme song to Fresh Fruit would also be a banger as a drag number, because it's like, let me just sing every song. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm an ideas guy.
All
I'm just saying, whenever you want to do it,
we
got you.
And we could be your backup dancers if you need someone.
Oh, that would be great.
I'm so ready.
A little French horn.
All right. Well, hey, let's take a quick break and let's play an opera song.
Mm-hmm.
I have a duet here from La Bohème performed by the Royal Opera.
Mm.
And excuse my Italian, but I think it's O Suevi Fanciulla. I don't know. Here it comes.
E al ritorno
curioso
dammi il braccio mia piccina.
Obbedisco, signor.
Che nomi di
io
Support from KFAI comes from the Dakota, presenting Patty Austin in concert Friday, July 18th and Saturday, July 19th.
Patty Austin has been producing hit records since 1969's The Family Tree. She's worked with Paul Simon, Cat Stevens, James Brown, Joe Cocker, Bette Midler, Roberta Flack, Luther Vandross, and Diana Ross. With James Ingram, she recorded her Grammy-nominated hit, Baby Come to Me, and Oscar-nominated hit, How Do You Keep the Music Playing? For her latest release and seventh Grammy nomination, she presents For Ella 2, a celebration of Ella Fitzgerald and Patty's unique vocal style. More information about Patty Austin at the Dakota is available at dakotacooks.com.
In these times, voices matter. Communities matter. That's why KFAI is necessary.
KFAI has played a vital role in connecting and reflecting communities through sharing local voices since 1978.
And today, that's more important than ever.
KFAI's programs are listener-driven and volunteer-produced by your friends, your neighbors, and maybe even a member of your family.
So go to KFAI.org and make a donation if you can.
Or get involved by volunteering.
Or support KFAI by telling people about the cool things you hear.
Make your voice heard through community-powered radio.
All right, you're tuned into Fresh Fruit on KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org. I'm Dixie Treichel here with Dick Van Dyke and Queenie Von Kerbs, the Von Twins, and we're talking about divas and drag. Hello.
Hello.
We're back. We're talking about divas and drag that's coming up at the Jungle Theater, and you have some more specific details to talk about with the show.
Yeah, so it's our first year at the Jungle Theater, and we're really excited.
So excited.
It's such a cool space.
So much cat art, which is really what I look for in a space.
And it's a fun setup with the stage, too. There's lots of opportunities for us to break the fourth wall and enter from all different places in the audience or, you know, have lots of fun surprises. You'll never know where it's going
to
start.
You'll have to tune in to find out.
And all of our shows, in the effort of especially Kelly's mission to make opera more accessible, all of our shows are pay what you can. So they're all pay
that
what
rocks.
You Yeah. So any of our shows, whatever you're able to pay, whatever you want to pay, whatever you can pay, we'll take it.
No one turned away for lack of funds.
Even if it's nothing. We just want people to be able to come and experience this art. And then also our Sunday early show, Sunday, August 3rd at 5, is also a sober show, so it's alcohol-free. We'll still have a bar open with fabulous selections for you to pick from, but no alcohol. And I know that's a really important thing, especially in queer communities. It's harder to find sober spaces with queer art. And so we're offering that for accessibility. And then also our Monday, we have a Monday show.
Whoa.
Right.
Nice.
Which
Hello.
Is industry night.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And is also going to be ASL interpreted. So okay. Lots of ways for accessibility to be reached for our audiences. And then also, as always, we always make sure in our casting between Kelly, Dick, and I to make sure that our cast really reflect accessibility and diversity in all different kinds of disciplines and people and identities. And we're so excited that every year we're able to give people those opportunities in space. So,
yeah, because coming from a you know, classical music kind of background, that is rare in some ways. And so I think like that is something that has always inspired me about AOT and Opera Theater and just like their ethos as an organization. And yeah, they're cool. I'm a fan. There, I said it.
Yes,
yeah.
100%. But we started as fans.
Let's be honest. But yeah, I love what you said about having a cast that reflects the community. I feel the same way. I'm a contestant right now on King of Drag, on Reverie. Thank you. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that too, because I think that, you know, the casting process through that, all the folks that were involved in that also did a great job of getting a cast that is reflective of the beautiful, wonderful, diverse drag king community. And I also want to take a minute to shout out, like, not only am I obsessed with the drag kings that you see on screen, both the contestants and Murray, obsessed with Murray. I could watch a whole show of just Murray
fan,
honestly,
forever,
yeah. I'm like, yeah, Murray for King of Drag, honestly. But there's also so many kings behind the scenes, which was cool to me from a production standpoint. See, you didn't even know this.
No, that's wonderful.
I know. This is a little BTS moment for you here on Fresh Fruit. Like, yeah, like Moby Dick, who was...
forever be in love with Moby Dick.
I know.
OG.
But like backstage all the whole time. But it was so funny because he was out of drag and he didn't have his hair on. He didn't have his tooth. So when we were walking by the whole time. We were like, hey, whatever. And then he was like, it's me, Mo. We were like, what? Like, totally. But then even like the woman who was miking us up was like, I used to be a drag king 20 years ago. And I was like, this is a vibe. And the PA, drag king. Like the director, drag king. Like it was like everybody, it's like, oh, the place is crawling with them. Like,
that's
and it
incredible.
Was just like this, yeah, it was this beautiful.
And they all understand it.
Exactly.
And that's so important view and aspect on screen or off screen. When people like understand what you're doing, understand what goes into it, what like everything that's happened, then you're going to see it without knowing it.
It felt like when we were there and, you know, even if it was a late night filming or whatever, it was like you look around the room and you're like, oh, this is my community. And that was like a really beautiful.
Oh, I love
that. That makes me kind of choked up talking about it, but it was a really beautiful experience. But anyway, yeah, so I am still, I am still in the running, y'all. So tune in Sunday night at 8 p.m. It's for episode 5 out of 6. So we are bringing this train into the station.
Exciting.
Episode 5 is coming up this Sunday night.
What time is it on Sundays?
8 p.m. here in the Central Time.
Okay.
Yeah. So and there are watch parties all around the Twin Cities too. Like I know they're doing one at Lush. They're doing one, I think, at the Brass Rail, and then also my friend Salty Fears will be hosting one at the Black Heart of St. Paul. So if you're on that side of 94, come see us.
So other than that, you can just find it online. Reverie's.
Yeah, Reverie is. They have an app where you can watch it.
And it's free to download. Talking about accessibility, it is free to watch. So this is not something you have to sign up for and remember to cancel later or like all that kind of stuff. Yeah, free to watch live. So you can download that and it's accessible. It's also pay whatever you can.
Yeah, and it's just like cool. Honestly, I think the funniest part about being a drag king is like knowing that like we have such a long, beautiful, rich history. And then, you know, being in situations where I think on one of the most recent episodes, Molasses put it like the most clear way that you can, and he was like, people say really weird stuff to drag kings, and I was like, thank you for putting words to a feeling, because it is like it just comes from a place of people don't know about drag kings, and they don't, it's not as out there, you know, because they've been excluded from Drag Race. And so I think like I'm really stoked about King of Drag increasing visibility, not only just for the 10 kings that were on the show, but also just like kings around the country. And there are so many kings here in the Twin Cities. And like I said, with Dragged Out, like, there are so many drag kings, like, beautiful, wonderful drag kings. Like, I came to the Twin Cities because of the drag king scene. And then it's so funny to me when I've been in situations where they're like, oh, I don't know if we have any of those here. And I'm like, you just don't know where to look. So I'm telling you where to look. So go to Dragged Out, go to Two Dykes, you know, like, they're right in your own backyard. And like, whether they were on a streaming show or not, like, you know, please, like, show up and love them and tell them they're wonderful. And honestly, like, the other thing too is, like, I always have an open slot at my show, the Dick Van Dyke Show, also at the Black Heart, which actually the next one's coming up on July 25th, if you'd like to come to that. But there will be folks premiering, doing drag for the first time in that show as well. And I love, you know, people always ask me, like, oh, what's a great way to get started as a drag king? Or my biggest pet peeve is people will be like, oh, I really want to do drag, and like, I'm working it all out, and it's going to be perfect, and in the next, like, few months I'll have it all perfectly worked out, and then I'll be ready to start. And I'm like, diva, you will not learn it until you just jump in the pool. Yep. And then you will learn how to swim. So if you're looking for a place to jump in the pool so that you can learn how to swim, you can message me on Instagram, you can message Queenie, you can premiere in my show, you can premiere in our show. Like, we can hook you up with, there are open shows like every single week here in the Twin Cities. And I just think, like, drag is for everybody, burlesque is for everybody, and let's get the word out that, like, you know, everybody is a drag body, everybody is a burlesque body, and, like, if you want to perform, girl, let's do it.
Absolutely. All yeah, right. Yeah. Also, side note, huge crush on Molasses.
Well, yes. Woo. Me too.
Woo, my goodness. Well, yeah, I remember the first time I saw a drag king. It was like my maybe third year in burlesque. And that's when burlesque and drag, I feel like, was much more separated. Mm-hmm. But one of the first, like, performance groups to kind of overlap that was actually Black Hearts Burlesque, mm-hmm. with Electrocute. And Sorry. That was one of the first shows that really was like, oh, but also, like, don't forget that, like, there's other disciplines here. And that was, mm-hmm. also kind of a sapphic-centered show without it being spelled out as mm-hmm. much.
Yeah.
And so Electra brought drag kings. And the first one I ever saw I ended up marrying them. So
show off.
So I'm just saying, go out and watch drag kings, because you might marry one.
Yeah, she's like, and none of you will be as big of a drag king fan as me.
It's
I
true.
Already won.
It's yeah. true. I saw my first one and I was like, well, and then I married them.
Yeah. Incredible.
Well, I think one of the things too, they kind of brought it into people's consciousness a little bit, is Victor Victoria.
Oh, yes. You know,
classic. Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes.
I Julie lived in Andrews. Chicago in the 80s, and there was a bar called Victor Victoria. And that's what it was. It was drag kings and drag
yes.
queens. And it was really nice to see the mix, yep. you know. Mm-hmm. And that movie, I think, just really kind of blew people's minds, mm-hmm. you know.
And it's another thing to be said that drag has been incorporated into movies and TV shows, kids' movies, cartoons. It's been part of our reality forever, whether or not we realize it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is just the next chapter.
Totally.
That's great. And so, Divas and Drags, tell us again where and when we can see Divas and Drags.
Absolutely. So it's August 1st through 4th at the Jungle Theater. It's all pay what you can. It runs about 2 hours with an intermission. Mm-hmm. And again, we're having a sober early show on Sunday, August 3rd, and industry night on Monday, August 4th with ASL interpretation.
And for more information on tickets or just more information in general, you can go to annoperatheater.org.
That sounds wonderful. And we've got just a couple of minutes. Any last things about events you've got coming up that you want to plug, or did you get them all in?
I mean, yeah, I would say you can catch me at brunches at Lush Lounge and Theater. I've been doing a lot where I am premiering costumes from King of Drag at the Lush stage, which is just, I mean, it's beautiful. There's a, you know, screen and lights and the whole kit and caboodle, so it's gorgeous. So come see me at Lush. And then watch parties of the last few episodes of King of Drag on Sunday nights. I also have my show at the Black Heart on July 25th. And our next Two Dykes Walk Into a Bar, me and Queenie, the Vaughns, will be there on September 5th.
Yep. Yeah. And then I also produce a couple other artistic events throughout the cities. Mm-hmm. I produce Dr. Sketchies at the 331 Club the second Sunday of every month. That's a life drawing event at a bar. It's called Let's Go Drink and Draw Together. It's a very fun, casual Sunday afternoon. My models range from cosplayers to burlesque performers to drag performers to anyone that might be interesting to draw. We give them a chance, and it's a really fun event. And I also produce an event called Bear Book Club. We'll be starting back up again in September. And that's Bear as in Bear Naked. It is a live reading event similar to kind of the Parisian salons of the 20s, and all of our readers are completely nude, and
there's
a different theme for each one, which helps delegate what we read, and all different kinds of readers, and it's a really very cool inclusive space.
All right, well, thank you for coming on Fresh Fruit, and we're going to go out with a song by the Magnetic Fields.
Sweet. Thank you for having us, Dixie.
In drag.
Thank you.
Love it. Can't wait to see your drag debut. Look forward to it.
All right. Here we go.
A pity she does not exist to shame me some.